assure you that life is not going to go well for you if God and His Son Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit of God, the Word of God, is not at the center of your life, your family, your church. This is what family altar, he said, is all about. Christ is resident and president, and thus he ought to be so in the believing heart. And that is so true. Family altar is the time to stop and remind all the family that the home is to be God's place. God ought to dwell in your family, and He ought to be the center. And we ought to be ashamed of ourselves for pushing Him to the periphery and marginalizing Him and not making sure He is first in our hearts, in our families. Where we have made ourselves to be first. And quite frankly, what a miserable experience. What a miserable life. That's what's wrong with the church today. That's what's wrong with your family today. That's what's wrong with America today. It's all about me, myself, and I. Selfish. Only concerned about self. Not God, not Jesus, not the Word of God, not the people of God, not the people who need God, but me, myself, and I. One of the reasons why some of you are so dark this morning, so dim, so depressed, despondent, and defeated is because God is not at the center of your life. You know who's at the center of your life, sitting on the throne of your life? Me, myself, and I. What can I get out of it? What does this day have for me today? And then if you can't see that this day has everything to hold for you, then you're depressed. Then you're defeated, disgusted, miserable. Want to curl up in a fetal position because your focus is on you. You're trying to worship yourself as God. You don't care about God. You don't care about Jesus. Jesus Christ said, "If you love me, keep my commandments." And the best way for you to start off the day is to pray, to read God's Word, and to put your mind on God. Focus on Him. And I guarantee you that if you keep your focus on God and keep your focus on Jesus and on the Word of God, you will forever be at peace. And you will have joy unspeakable, peace that passeth all understanding. And so what you need to do right now is confess your sins of selfishness. Turn this all the way around and brighten it. You need to confess your sins of worshiping yourself, idol worship, when life is only about you and all about you. we have parents who should be responsible and understand they have obligations. They have children. It's a disgusting thing. But they're still trying to get their high school groove on while they have four children they need to be taken care of. And you know why you think that way? It's because it's all about me, myself, and I. Just leave it there. That's the problem. And that's why we're in the mess we're in today. We have a me, myself, and I Christianity. And not until you put God first again, is going to remain messed up. Holy Father God, I pray in the holy name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And Holy Father God, hopefully together we praise you and we thank you for your goodness, your love, your mercy, and your grace. Hallowed be your name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Have continued mercy and grace upon each and every one of us who name the name of Christ. And help us, Lord, to confess our sins of selfishness, of the me, myself, and I mentality and attitude. There are even some people bitter towards you and angry towards you because they have to, in their minds, they have to worship you this morning when they really are would rather be in a building somewhere trying to hook up with somebody because they're more concerned about me, myself, and I. And so, Holy Father God, help us, those of us who are true saints, help us to repent of such foolishness. Help us, Lord, to seek your forgiveness for pushing you away from the center of our lives to the periphery of our lives, if not beyond, marginalizing you, saying that we love you with our mouths, but not with our hearts. And Holy Father God, I pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ that you would cast the devil and the demons of hell out of the hearts and minds and lives of people, even in our families, individually. Crush and crucify in a very real sense our wicked, evil, and ungodly, selfish flesh for everybody here and for everybody out there. For Lord, some are not responding well to your chastisement. Some are still bitter and resentful because you won't let them have their way. They're resentful and bitter and angry at you because you won't let them do what they want to do. They are accusing you, Lord, of taking away their normal. And of course, their normal is nothing but sin and selfishness, and me, myself, and I, and foolishness, and pride and stubbornness. And as, Lord, you led me to say at the beginning of this plague, people obviously are not in a mood to repent, have no desire to repent, and some who even name your name have no clue what repentance is. And they do not understand that you want to see the fruits of repentance in all of our lives. You want to see us repent of our nasty demonic attitudes, our nasty demonic hatred, racism, prejudice, our nasty demonic hatred of authority. One of the reasons why we're seeing the demonic activity in the streets of this country today is because people hate your authority. So therefore they hate the authority of parents, they hate the authority of husbands, they hate the authority of even the police who are out there, most of them, to protect us. Is a revolt against you. To have such hatred towards peace officers is demonic. To want to burn up their cars and their buildings, the police buildings, is demonic. And it is a revolt against you. It basically says that if they could burn up heaven, heaven, they would do it. Because many do not even have understanding of authority. And they hate the idea of authority. Realizing and knowing that most officers are good and stand against the evil that has been done against Mr. Floyd. And so, Holy Father God, I pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, drive out the demonic spirit of rebelliousness and pride, pharisaistic pride and stubbornness and disobedience and bad attitudes and hatred and prejudice and racism and disrespect for authority across the board. Disrespect for your authority, disrespect for the authority in the government, disrespect for the authority with police officers, regarding police officers and sheriffs, and disrespect even in the home of authority. And so, Holy Father God, we pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, help us to pray, to seek your face, to turn from our wicked ways and to humble ourselves before you. And to get back to you, our first love. And Lord, I praise you and I thank you that the thousands of folk who come to this service and to the other services and to the briefings, Lord, they are a people who want to hear your word. They want to get right with you. They want to repent. Otherwise, they would not come. And so, Lord, help them, give them your grace and your strength and the power of your Holy Spirit to move forward. Break us all and make us all to be what you would have us to be. Be thorough with us. Lord, in your love, don't let up on us, because obviously we're not right. And Lord, even in this situation we have in our streets today, Lord, the church, generally speaking, is not showing up. So-called Christian leaders are not saying anything, not doing what they should be doing. And so, Holy Father God, we pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We pray for the healing of Christian marriages and families. We pray, Lord, for that healing to take place by your grace, through prayer, and through obedience to your holy word, for the family that prays together, obeys together, stays together. And Lord, I thank you for a wonderful time of fellowship and talking and prayer Lord, with one of my oldest daughters on last night, and how that they, her and her sister, are considering doing and taking their father's advice. And but more beautiful than that, how that we prayed together as we prayed for many, many years since she was born. How we remembered and reminisced about all of the great times together, the fun times together, as well as, Lord, the great times that you gave us in serving you together. And I'm so thankful to you that they are still serving you on their own, without my prodding, without my getting on their case. They're in church this morning, albeit online. And Lord, I want this for every father and for every mother. I want them to be able to have a great, respectful relationship with their children when they're grown and on their own. I pray for them to accomplish great things together in their families. Right now, I pray for parents to tough it out, to love it out, to deal with nasty attitudes, typical teenage foolishness. Deal with it in detail. They will be glad that they did when it's all said and done. And they will give you the glory when they can talk with their children as adults and have a great time of Christian fellowship together. When they're grown and on their own, and they're taking care of themselves, and they're not a burden to their parents, but a blessing. That's the outcome of it, and I pray it for everybody under the sound of my voice. But they're going to have to love their children. They're going to have to love them so much that they're going to have to chastise them when they don't want to. They're going to have to get in their face and rebuke them about their attitudes when they don't want to have to deal with that, and they want to pass it on to somebody else. They're going to have to deal with the details of family life. And so, Lord, I pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ that you will grant them your grace and your strength and the power of your Holy Spirit to love their children like that, to love them and to admonish them and to nurture them in the faith. It will be worth it all. It's difficult. It's painful sometimes. It's hard. But it will be worth it all. So, Lord, heal every Christian marriage and family through prayer and through obedience to your holy word. Help every family under the sound of my voice, each individual in the family, to make up their mind that they're going to do their part. They're not going to play the blame game and point their finger game, but they're going to do what they're supposed to do in the family, not contingent upon what somebody else does. The wife is going to do her job no matter what the husband does. The husband is going to do his job no matter what the wife does. The parents are going to do their jobs no matter what the children do. The children are going to do what they're supposed to do in the family according to Ephesians 5 and 6, no matter what the parents do. Because we all have to answer to you. And Holy Father God, we pray for the salvation of families that are lost partly because of us not witnessing to them. And for Jesus Christ's sake, please have mercy and grace upon wicked Christians for being concerned about me, myself, and I. Forgive us of our sins of not witnessing to lost families and winning whole households to Christ. Not by foolishness, but loving them enough to tell them about Jesus Christ to tell them the wonderful gospel that Jesus Christ suffered, bled, and died on the cross for their sins, was buried, and rose on the third day. And all they have to do is believe in him. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And Lord, I pray that you, Lord, if we're not willing to be used, please raise up laborers to come into the whited harvest fields of America. Lord, send missionaries back to America to witness to those who are lost in this country, even in the church, for there are many people who are religious but lost. Now, Holy Father God, we know the devil is fighting each and every one of our families, and the devil is going to fight these families if they start doing what they know they should do. It's going to be a rough road, love, situation. And we in America, Lord, unfortunately, and in our anemic churches, we can't take much. And that's what's wrong with us today. And Lord, you're showing great love and mercy and grace towards such a wretched group of people here in America and in this church in America. Because this is really, really light chastisement compared to what you could do and compared to what you will do. But Lord, you know better than any of us that most of us in this country, even in the church, we can't take much more than this. And so thank you for your love, your mercy, and your grace. At the same time, Lord, be thorough with us. Break us, make us, and mold us to be what you would have us to be. In Jesus Christ's name we pray, and for his sake, amen. I'm not crying, but I ought to be. I have a fan blowing in my face and making my eyes water, but I should be crying. I really should be. Join me in praying the Lord's Prayer right where you are. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. All right, we're back to Ephesians chapter 5, verse 22, I think 23 and 24. That's all we're going to read today. And don't get mad at the scriptures. Just do the scriptures. Obey the scriptures. Remember what I said. It's time out for the me, myself, and I Christianity. Learn how to respect authority, no matter how bad the authority is. You have no control over the authority. You can pray for the authority. In the family, you can't protest the authority. You need to pray for the authority. In the government, you are allowed to protest, but not burn up people's property. Protest has nothing to do with burning up buildings and burning up cars and turning over cars and getting in the face of people and cussing them out. That's not protesting. You're inciting violence, and you need to stop it. But in the family, God wants us in the Christian family to do what we do out of a love motive. God wants us to do right through His agape love. That is unconditional love. That goes both ways. That's from the husband and from the wife and from the children. We ought to love. In fact, your family will not make it without agape, unconditional love. So do what you do out of love for God, out of love for Jesus, first and foremost. And then do what you do out of love for your family with the love of God in your heart. You say that you're a Christian, you have the love of God in your heart. You need to act like it. And that means if you love God and you love Jesus and you claim to be a Christian and you have the love of God shed abroad in your heart, then you ought to change your nasty attitude. You ought to change your disrespectful attitude, your hateful, mean attitude and spirit. Stop being the kind of person in your family that nobody wants to say anything to you, nobody wants to be bothered with you, because every time they try to engage you, you got a cat-like, demonic attitude from hell, kind of thing going on, spirit. Yes. Don't touch me kind of attitude and spirit. Stop being so hateful. Just stop doing that. It's nothing but your selfishness, your me, myself, and I-ness. It's nothing but your flesh. It's nothing but your stinking pride, your stubbornness, your pharaohistic style of stubbornness. Some of you got a pride, that pharisaic style pride. Some of you have a demonic pride in you that will drive you to hell if you're not careful. I'm telling you the truth. You're so proud, you will not admit wrong about nothing. And you can't live your life as a Christian that way. Verse 22, wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands. Mayor Bottoms of Atlanta does not have to submit to me. She just has to submit to her husband. And I'm going to tell you why. One of the reasons why I love Mayor Bottoms. Because someone asked her on television one time, what do you think about becoming the vice president, running with Biden for the vice presidency? And she's such a humble, sweet person. She's not, she you know what? She admits that she's not perfect. She said, well, I think I'm a pretty good person. And I believe that I would do a good job. My husband may not think I'm that great, but... You know, I forget the word, but being able to, well, that self-awareness, that even though you, a young woman, beautiful woman, bad woman, educated woman, and the mayor of Atlanta, one of the biggest cities in the country, married and have children. You're doing it. College educated. I love it. But to be, and the reason why she's that way and she's in that position is because she's humble enough to admit that she's not all that. And she has a husband that she loves and he loves her. And a good husband will help remind you now, honey. You might be the mayor of Atlanta and everything, but you know you're not perfect now. And that's good. And she respects her husband, but she's a young lady, and she's the mother. The new mother of Atlanta, I guarantee you. And she does not play. Now, she's as sweet as she can be, but she does not play. And I love it. And Biden needs all the help he can get. I can't ride with Biden. I can't ride with Biden. I can't ride with Biden. No, sir. But he would do himself well to get Mayor Bottoms. I believe her first name is Keisha or something like that. Anyway. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands. She just needs to respect and honor and submit to her husband, not anybody else. Not Killer Mike or T.I. or nobody else. Just her husband. And that's all you need to do, sister. But see, some of y'all got it, in the words of Bishop Daniel White Jr., you got to ask backwards. You submit and bow down to your boss because you got a paycheck coming in. You smile and grin. He doesn't even know you have a period or cycles. Excuse me. Don't go nowhere. I know that's bad English. Don't go nowhere. I just feel like saying it this morning. Don't go nowhere. But you unleash on your husband. See, you drop all of that on him and you disrespect him and disrespect him in front of your children, have a bad attitude, just a permanent bad attitude. A don't touch me attitude. But you submit to your bosses out there and you bow down to them, you go get them coffee, you want to give your husband a glass of water. That's not right. You're not to submit to any other man but your husband. That's it. Not the pastor either. Say what? Not the pastor. Some of you women love the pastors too much. Y'all love the pastors too much. Willing to be an armor bearer and all that. You won't even be an armor bearer for your husband. You won't even back up your husband. What are you talking about being an armor bearer? Put that bearer. There's no such thing anyway. Some joker made up. But you won't even back up your husband. All of a sudden, and the pastor said, don't be doing that in the house with your husband. Because he don't give a flip what the pastor says. He does not give a flip. He's concerned about what you're doing, what he said. There's nobody between you and your husband, including the pastor or the pastor's wife. Stop dragging them into your family business. You know who's the pastor of your house? This is it. This is biblical. You know who's the pastor in your family? Your husband is your pastor. The Bible tells you to learn from your husband at home. Say it, preacher. Amen, lights. How can I learn from him? He's too dumb. See, that's the wrong heart, wrong attitude, wrong spirit. And that's why God is not blessing your marriage. God is not blessing you. And God's not going to bless your children because you're rebellious and stubborn and disrespectful. And God's not going to bless your relationship with your children, mother, if you don't honor and respect your husband. That's right. Even if you're sorry. The old time women in the black community, particularly, even when they couldn't get along with their husband and they separated, black folk back in the day, they didn't go through the divorce courts and all that. This is kind of tight right here. Loosen that up. They just separated. I got it now. You just didn't know any. They didn't go out telling their business. All you know is grandpa and grandma not living together. But here's what the old time women in the black community, they would always say, now that's your father, now don't you say that about your father. You need to respect your father now. And then sometime they'll have to explain to them, even though we did not get along, he's still your father. And so when you see him, he comes over to get you or whatever, to give you some money, you respect him and you say thank you. And you have the right attitude towards your father. That's what they would call them, your father. And you ought to do the same today. You ought to respect your husband and teach your children to respect and stop trying to use your children against their own father. Ah, you devil. Yes, sir. Some of you women, y'all use your children as pawns against their own father. Playing games. Well, you'll never see them again. Playing games, trying to control them and manipulate them through their heart. Because you know, maybe it ought not to be so, but you know he loves those children more than he loves you, and you can't stand it. And you will use so many, listen to me, so many millions of children have seen lives have been destroyed by wicked, evil Jezebel women who have played games with their children's lives, trying to manipulate and control their husbands or former husbands who are not with them anymore by not letting them see the children, taking the children away from them and threatening them and all this foolishness, and the children don't have the benefit of their father because of that evil game that is played in America, and America is set up to play that game. One time in our marriage, my wife tried to play that game, and I said, no, we're not going to play that game. I'm not going to let you take the children through that. If you leave for whatever reason, you can take the children with you and you can have custody of the children. I love my children and you know it. But you're not going to control me and manipulate me through my children. And I've always had that mentality. You're not going to control me or manipulate me through my children that I love. And I'm not going to let you put them through hell. She said, oh, you wouldn't want to see them every 2 weeks and have them for the summer and all that? No, they're going to stay with you. Because everything is fine as long as you stay with me. And keep my children where they belong. As you know, God has blessed us like that. If you pull this stunt, God's not going to bless you. God's going to bless me. And you can have the children and you're going to go through hell. And that's one of the reasons why we're still together. Because she knew that I was not going to play that game. So many men fall for that okie doke. Oh, I wish I had somebody to say, man, amen, lights. My wife is sitting right here. She can hear every word I say. That was a long time ago when she tried to play that game or threaten with that game. I've never let any woman do that to me. And I would encourage you husbands not to let that wife of yours manipulate you with those children and be threatening you about taking your son away and all that. You know you don't want it, but hey, you know, she wants to play that game, let her play it. If she has any sense, she's not going to play it. If you stand firm on your authority, I'm still here. I'm not going anywhere. She knows you love that son, Junior. She knows you love that son, the third or the fourth. She knows you love those daughters with all of your heart. And so that's one of the ways these Jezebels will manipulate you and control you and make you bend and make you bow to them, sir, and make you submit. Thousands have done it. But not Danny B. I love my children. God blessed me to help bring them into the world. And I would pray with them. And okay, y'all go ahead on and do what I taught you. And let's roll. That's right. To this day, I don't play that. And so many men have played that game, and they're in submission to their wives because they're afraid she's going to take Junior away from him, his little baseball partner, who looked just like him, who act like him, shaped like him. Or his sweet little daughter who just, when he comes home, if the son does not come running, if the wife does not come running, the little sweet daughter does. I believe I have one of my oldest daughter. She has been for her father and has helped her father from the time she was born until right now. She's in her late 20s. And all of my daughters have helped me in the ministry better than my sons. But my daughter Danny has taken my side and loved me and supported me from the time she was born until now. And every father knows that there's nothing like a great daughter to help you get through life. Oh yes, it's a blessing when you have a faithful daughter who loves her father. She'll go to bat for you, even against your mean, hateful wife. Not in a disrespectful way, but she knows that she knows what's going on, and she'll stand with you. And it's a beautiful thing. But I have never allowed my wife or any woman. And yes, it's common knowledge that I've had some women in the past. And we got together in the past, back in the day, and had a baby or two. And I didn't let them play that game either. Even when we saw we were not going to get together. And I didn't let them use the children, the child against me and all of that kind of thing. You want to play that game, you go right on ahead and do that. Don't want me to see the child and all that kind of thing. That's on you. And especially in a husband-wife situation, I don't think you need to do that at all, sir. Don't let her hold it over your head or anything else. You stand in your God-given authority. Oh, I know some of the little sweet evangelicals say, "Oh, that's just too hard. You ought to let that woman control him like that. So keep him under control." No, I don't believe in that. The only somebody who ought to control the husband is God. And no wife deep down wants to be in control of her husband that way. That's just her flesh wanting to do that. And the devil wants her to do that. And so, as the scripture reads, "Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord." As unto the Lord. "For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church." Now, if you want the truth, come here and stay with me and you'll get the truth. And you will get something that will help you maintain your marriage and your family and keep your family together over the long haul without demonic foolishness and without destroying your life and without destroying your children's lives. And all of you women who play that game and want to try to control your husband and manipulate your husband, you need to stop it. If you claim to be a Christian, you need to cut that foolishness out. I'm telling you just like I have told my wife down through the years. And I want to encourage you husbands, to gain some, especially if you're young. Some of you old heads, you've already messed up so badly, you better not try to change anything. She'll have you all turned upside down and hanging from the ceiling. But some of you young men, you need to love your wives and love your children, but stand in your biblical, God-given authority. For he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Now, wives, that is not contingent on what your husband does. I just can't stand how he just come in the house and drop his clothes on the floor and sit in the chair and and watch sports all day and then falls asleep. It does not help me around the house. Submit to your husband in all things. You pray for your husband. If you have a godly suggestion that will make things better, make that suggestion in a godly spirit and attitude. But don't get mad if he doesn't do what you tell him to do. The only boss he has is God and Jesus. You're supposed to help him. It's not going to kill you to hang his pants up. You're supposed to be a helpmeet to him. He is not supposed to be a helpmeet to you. I know that's against the sweet evangelical teachings and the sweet charismatic and Baptist Methodist teachings in our society today, that the man is somehow supposed to be a helpmeet to the wife. That's not what the Bible says. And you, deep down, woman, you don't even want him to be that. You're just trying to do stuff that your flesh wants and the devil wants and other people are telling you to do. That's right. I'm here to tell you, I don't know of a good woman who wants her husband in there washing dishes, got an apron on, fixing dinner for her and the children, and cleaning the house after he's done work 10 hours. I don't know of a woman who wants that deep down in her heart. I've never met one. All the women I've met and all the women I know and the way that I've dealt with them and talked with them, deep down, they want you to be the man and they want to serve you. That's how they're wired. And see, that's something that many of you men don't know, that I know, and I'm trying to help you. Now, can they be rebellious like anybody else? Yes. Can they rebel against what's in them? Yes. That's what rebelliousness is. You rebel against God's word. You rebel against how God wired you. You rebel against your instincts. And you rebel against your conscience. You know better. But you do it. You want to do it anyway. That's the devil in the flesh working in you. But deep down in the heart of every woman, she loves a man that she can submit to and wants to submit to. And in the early days, that's how it is. But then things change. Deep down in every woman's heart, she wants to submit to a man and help a man. And if that's not in you, sister, then don't get married. In fact, she loves it. It's a part of her instinct. She does not want to be married to a man that she can control and manipulate. Once she conquers him, which evidently will not take long, she's going to be interested in conquering a real man, somebody else to conquer. That's just the nature of the beast, my dear friends. So you're doing her a favor, sir, by lovingly admonishing her. Now remember your place, remember your role. Don't be trying to boss me. You ain't got to get mad about it, sir. You ain't got to get angry. You ain't got to ball up your fist and hit your wife and all this kind of foolishness. Nah. You just stand in your authority and just let her know that we're not going to have that kind of relationship. Well, I'm going to leave and take the children. Okay, well, then go ahead on and leave and take the children if that's what you want to do. Don't fight her. Let her go. And let her keep the children. Let her keep them. She'll be back if she has any sense. Anyway, our devotional passage is Psalm chapter 40, verses 6 through 10. Sacrifice and offering thou didst not desire. Mine ears hast thou opened. Burnt offering and sin offering hast thou not required. Then said I, lo, I come. In the volume of the book it is written of me. I delight to do thy will, O my God. Yea, thy law is within my heart. I have preached righteousness in the great congregation. Lo, I have not refrained my lips. That's what I just got through doing, by the way, preaching righteousness. I know you don't like it. I know there's some first ladies mad at me. I already know about that. I can care less. You're not my wife. And you might be saying, well, I'm glad he's not my husband. The feelings are mutual, sweetheart. The feelings are mutual. I'm glad you're not my wife either, because I don't need a wife who's not going to obey what I tell her and submit. That's right. That's biblical. And there's no other way to look at it. I'm preaching righteousness, and I'm trying to help you keep your marriage and your family together in peace, especially in a plague pandemic. Somebody has to be in charge. Somebody has to be in authority. And God made the man. No matter how sorry you think he is. Which you ought not to be thinking that way. Because you married him. O Lord, thou knowest. I have not hid thy righteousness within my heart. I have declared thy faithfulness and thy salvation. I have not concealed thy loving kindness and thy truth from the great congregation. And all preachers need to start telling the people in the congregation, the great congregation, the truth. And by the way, all preachers are preaching, all mega church pastors, all preachers who are God called, they're mega church pastors today. They're preaching to thousands. And you ought to tell people the truth to set them free. All of God's women, they're not mad at me for telling the truth. They may not do it, but they're not mad at me for telling them the truth. Because they already know the truth. All women know deep down what they ought to be doing. Don't be worried about that. I'm not worried about losing any members or anybody coming by to visit. If I was concerned about that, I wouldn't preach that truth. Because I know it's not popular. But what I'm telling you will work, because it has worked here in my family. It will work. Well, preacher, is everybody happy all the time in your family? No. But like I told you, happiness is overrated. Sometimes people are happy, not happy, because they are rebellious and they're disobedient and they're stubborn and they're proud and can't have their way. Then be unhappy if you're that way. The people who are truly happy are people who are obedient to God, who are saved, and who are obedient to God. Jesus Christ said, if you love me, keep my commandments. Keep your mind stayed on me and I'll keep you in perfect peace. Even in tribulation, God wants you to be cheerful. And by the way, some of that is a choice. God will help you make the choice, and God will help you to do it. But cheerfulness and being pleasant and being glad, God will help you to do that. It ought to be in you to be that way. But it is a choice to be that way as well. You got some people who like to look miserable and act like they're miserable and mad all the time, because that's a way of manipulating people and controlling people for people like the husband and the father to do what? To do what? To always be saying, what's wrong? What's wrong? What's wrong with you? How can I cater to you? How can I make you happy? That's what that means. What's wrong? How can I cater to you? How can I make you happy? And they love it. These rebellious, stubborn people, they love that. Don't give them that. Stop trying to appease them. They're full of hell and the devil. Let them be mad. Why can't you stand that sometimes in your family, in your life? If there's a problem, let there be a problem. You just make sure you're right with God, and you got God's peace, and you got God's joy, and you're cheerful, and you're joyful. Don't let them change your demeanor. And after a while, by and by, after they go through their little tizzy, they'll come around. You just maintain your the right attitude and the right spirit. And don't do like my dad did. When my mother was upset, which was 95% of the time, 96% of the time, he would get upset. Don't do that. I don't let my wife get me upset. I have the joy of the Lord all of the time. I have the peace of God in me all of the time. I'm happy. I'm thankful. I'm making progress. I'm being productive. I'm getting things done, whether she helps me or not, whether she's mad at me or not. That's what you call a husband, a leader, a man who he's going to do what God told him to do, whether she's helping him or not or supporting him or not. I'm trying to set you free, sir. And at the same time, I'm trying to set you wives free. Some of you wives, you're almost there. A few of you are there already, but some of you are almost there because by nature, you are a more cheerful and optimistic person. Can flat get things done without getting all emotional about it. And by the way, let me help you husbands and you wives. Let me help you real quick. There are things in the marriage, bless your heart, you just need to do. All this manipulating men through sex and controlling men through sex, and if you don't do what I tell you, you don't wash them dishes, you don't fix the food, you don't clean the house, you don't pick up your drawers, you'll be sleeping on the couch, you won't be having sex with me, this shop is closed down, and then slam the door. What? No, that's not how it's supposed to be. And see, mature people, mature Christians, they do what they're supposed to do, whether they initially feel like it or not, because we all know that once you get going, you're going to feel like it. People, not folks in marriages, not having sex for weeks and months. No wonder the man is committing adultery with his side piece. No wonder if you're holding back, sir, God forbid, your wife is out there with Bo Peep. You can't go that long and be married. There are some things, well, even if you're mad, you just do. You eat when you're mad, don't you? You pay certain bills when you're mad, don't you? There's some things in life you just do. That's what mature people do. And this is a need that has to be taken care of, not a pawn to be played with. Because you're starting something you can't finish. And I don't know about the woman, but I do know about the man. He's going to get him a side piece if you don't do your job. Do what you're supposed to do. See, you call it a job. You call it whatever. You got a job to do, baby. You need to do your job. Do what you're supposed to do, no matter how mad you are. And you won't be mad if you do what you're supposed to do. You just hate him. You're mad at him. You need to take care of business in that area, and you'll find out you won't be as mad all the time. I'm trying to help you. I'm trying to set the man free and the woman free. We've had too much, and God, I understand exactly what Bishop T.D. Jakes has done. I understand why he did it. But we got too many women set loose, and we don't have any men to set loose and free. Dr. Matthew Henry wrote in his commentary, the psalmist foretells that work of wonder, redemption by our Lord Jesus Christ. The substance must come, which is Christ, who must bring that glory to God and that grace to man, which it was impossible these sacrifices should ever do. Observe the setting apart of our Lord Jesus Christ to the work and office of mediator. In the volume of the book, it was written of him. In the close rolls of the divine decrees and counsel, the covenant of redemption was recorded. Whoever undertook to preach the gospel of Christ would be under great temptation to conceal it. But Christ and those he calls to that work are carried on in it. May we believe his testimony, trust his promise, and submit to his authority. Ladies and gentlemen, join me in prayer for all people who name the name of Christ. Only God knows how many do, for real. Let's pray for those in government, especially in Minnesota, because as I said before, you might have burned down some other things, but you would not have burned down the police station if I was the mayor. You say, preacher, how do you know that? I know. You would not. Our government officials need prayer, because I would have not allowed you to burn down the police station. You would be in the police station, in the jail. That's where you would be. For the police station benefits all of us, whether you like it or not. That's not necessary. None of it is necessary. We're supposed to be civilized people, not barbarians. Did the police officer act like a barbarian and kill that man? And I'm thinking that something personal must have happened between them. They knew each other for him to do that. But whatever the case, he acted like a barbarian, and we should not in turn act like barbarians and burn down our own police station. And that mayor, as far as I'm concerned, ought to resign. Let's pray for our government officials as well. Let's pray for law enforcement. Yes, that's right. I still thank God for law enforcement. Law enforcement, over the balance of my life, has been good to me. And when I call, if I call 911 for something or somebody trying to get into my house, I don't care if I see white, black, red, yellow. I want to see some blue or some brown. The sheriff department, I want to see both. And some red, the EMTs, whoever, because whoever trying to break in my house, they're going to have to pick them up and put them in the ambulance. Oh, yes. Say, preacher, you ought not to say that. What do you mean? We need to pray for the blue, the brown, and the red. The blue, the police officers. The brown, the sheriffs, the deputy sheriffs. The red, the EMTs. Thank God for them. Let's pray for the medical workers. Let's pray for the so-called essential workers. I don't like to say that, because all of a sudden they're essential. They were essential before. We all are essential, so later for that. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 1 and 2 says, I exhort therefore that first of all supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings, and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. Join me in prayer right where you are. If I offended you in any way, don't let that bother you. Just go ahead on and pray. Pray for me. That's fine. Holy Father God, we pray in the holy name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We pray, Lord, for all believers, everybody who names the name of Christ, to help us, Lord, to humble ourselves before you. Help us to pray. Help us to seek your face, and help us to turn from our wicked ways, and help us, Lord God, Lord Jesus, to come back to you, to get back to you, our first love. For therein lies the problem. We're not with you in our first love. We have not repented, and we're not doing the first works. And Lord, I thank you that your word is clear. If we don't do that, we will not have New Testament revival in our lives. And Holy Father God, we pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you for providing for us and blessing us. We thank you for salvation, spiritual, family life, protection and provision, food and material blessings down through the years. We didn't deserve it then. We don't deserve it now. But Lord, those of us who are willing to pray and seek your face and turn from our wicked ways and humble ourselves before you and get back to you, our first love, we pray that you would keep us healthy and strong and continue to bless us, Lord, with the basic things of life as you have done down through the years, each and every day. Holy Father God, I pray for the healing of Christian families and for the salvation of lost family members in the Christian family. I pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ that you'd cast out the devil and the demons of hell out of the lives of people in the family who sneak and look at pornography, who sneak and look at Ouija board games, and who sneak and look at satanic stuff that allows the demons of hell to enter into their lives. And Lord, we pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ for everybody in the government, from the president on down. We pray, Lord, that you would save those who are lost, revive those who are saved. We pray for salvation, spiritual, family life, protection, and provision blessings upon all of these government officials, all governors, all mayors, all police chiefs, all district attorneys, all sheriffs. And Holy Father God, we pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ that you would lead them and guide them and direct them, even in our present situation, to get control over the rebels, protesting, Lord, as you know better than we do, is one thing. Committing crimes and destroying people's property is another thing. So, Lord, open the blinded eyes of the tender-hearted government officials and help them to do what is necessary to stop this foolishness before somebody gets seriously hurt or killed. And Holy Father God, we pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We pray for the peace of Jerusalem. We pray, Lord, for all other countries in the world, Lord, just like we pray for our country. And Holy Father God, we pray for the salvation of the lost in this country and around the globe and in the media. We pray for the revival of the saved in this country, around the globe, and in the media. And Lord God in heaven, we pray now, Lord, for all Christians who are being persecuted. All Christians who are being persecuted. Lord, in China, in Nigeria, in Kenya, Lord, comfort them as only you can, and protect them and provide for them, and deliver them. And Holy Father God, we pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ for all of the people who have lost loved ones in the coronavirus plague. Lord, even though their number is inaccurate and is more like over 250,000, a quarter of a million people who have died, but Lord, help everybody to understand in the Christian community and in the secular community that over 100,000 dead in the greatest country in the world, outside of Israel, in the history of the world, should be an eye-opener for everybody. And really, nobody should be out in the street cussing and fighting in this coronavirus plague, and in light of the fact that over 100,000, according to their count, have died. And so, Lord, we pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ for the family and friends and church family of New York church member Rita Thurston. We pray, Lord, for the family and friends and church family of Minnesota church organist David Goulet. We pray for the family and friends and church family of Maryland church member Alexander F. Gaskins. We pray for the family and friends of West Virginia welder Teddy Nelson. We pray for the comfort and we pray for the comfort of the family and friends of Connecticut resident D. Conway. And Lord, we commit all of these souls into your hands. Lord, comfort them as only you can. And Lord, lead them to your Son, Jesus Christ, for comfort and for salvation. And we pray that you will lead them to your Holy Scriptures for salvation and comfort as well. We pray also for the family and friends of Connecticut resident Ronaldo Ferrari. We pray for the family and friends of Connecticut resident Janice Bisley. We pray for the family and friends of Connecticut resident Denise Bugzik. We pray for the family and friends of Connecticut basketball player Charles Jernigan. We pray for the family and friends of Connecticut resident Jonathan Colho. And we pray for thousands upon thousands upon thousands of other families who are hurting in the same way, with the pain that some of us have not experienced. We pray that you would comfort them in the way that only you can do that. And comfort them in the way that you can do it. And we pray that you would direct them and turn their eyes towards Jesus Christ, and for comfort and for salvation, and to the Scriptures for salvation and for comfort. And now, Holy Father God, we pray for some prayer requests that have come in to us recently. We pray for Robin. Please stop the breast cancer from reoccurring in her body and heal her from the severe side effects of medication that she's taking. We pray for Joseph. Bless him, his family, and ministry in Kenya. We pray for Chikada. Please bless him with the sufficient food and resources he needs to take care of the orphan children. We pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, Lord, that you would treat the patients with a dreadful disease and the elderly in his church, and to win more lost souls for you before you return. Provide for him financially. We pray for Nita. Save President Trump's soul. Help him not to be deceived by or associate with phony Christians. And guide him in all his decisions for all phony Christians to truly get saved and turn to God themselves. We pray for Vicky. Bestow wisdom, strength, and understanding and obedience upon all government and ministry leaders. Bless and protect Pastor Evans, his family, church, and medical team. Heal Ambar completely and give her relief. Please open ears and hearts to the truth of the gospel in this time and for this time of desperation to lead people to Jesus Christ. Open their hearts to give to Joshua's ministry. Protect Joshua, his family, all the people who critical support services is reaching, and all first responders. Pardon me. And protect all people from coronavirus who have not been affected, and give quick and strong recovery to those who have been diagnosed with it. And we pray for millions of souls to be saved through this. We commit these souls into your hands. We pray for all of the people who have sent in prayer requests in the thousands. Hear and answer their prayers. Hear and answer our prayers for them. And Lord, we pray now for all of the people who have gotten saved through the ministry, and all of the people who rededicated their life through the ministry. We pray for Joe. We pray for Jail. We pray for Evangeline. We pray for Penny. We pray for Bola. We pray for Godfrey. And we pray for Felix. We thank you for saving their souls through the preaching of the gospel. Help them to grow in the faith and be the Christians you want them to be. We also pray for the people who have rededicated their lives to you, Lord Jesus, through the preaching of your holy word. We pray for Bryce, we pray for Kazia, we pray for Brooke, we pray for Rita, we pray for Lorraine, we pray for Sase, we pray for Raleigh. And we commit these souls into your hands. Let your will be done in their lives and in ours. In Jesus Christ's name we pray and for his sake. Amen. Ladies and gentlemen, faithful stewardship by A.W. Tozer is our devotional reading for today. He says, God has been pleased to deal with us in a most remarkable way concerning our Christian stewardship and responsibility of honoring him with the things he has entrusted to us. The Bible teaching is plain. You have the right to keep what you have all to yourself, but it will then rust and decay, and untimely and rather ultimately ruin you. This may hurt some of you, but I am obliged to tell you that God does not need anything you have. He does not need a dime of your money. What you need to understand is that it is your own spiritual welfare at stake in such matters as this. There is a beautiful and enriching principle involved in our offering to God what we are and what we have, but none of us are giving because there is a depression in heaven. A long time ago, God said, if I had need of anything, would I tell you? Brethren, if the living God had need of anything, he would no longer be God. Always remember that. So as you give this morning to your local church, if you are a part of a local church and you consider yourself to still be a member of that local church, even though you're going online, you continue to give as God blesses you with money. I would not give a dime of the money the government has sent you. That's for you and your family. If you're rich and famous and wonderful and you got a great deal of money and that's wonderful and dandy, then you can give the whole check if you want to. But if you know your family has need, you don't need to tithe the give from that money. But if you have your job back and you're back on your job or you got your own business or whatever, you give to your local church, wherever your pastor is and wherever you're getting your feeding from, even though you may come and visit me. Don't send your tithe money to me. Don't send your tithe money to our ministry here. You give that to your local church. And you're not giving it because God needs your money. You're giving it to give God the glory, the praise, and the honor, and to say thank you, Lord, for blessing me to even be in a position to give. Let's pray. Holy Father God, we praise you and we thank you for our time together today. And we pray that, Lord, by the power of your Holy Spirit, continue to speak to the hearts and minds and lives of the people from your holy word today. And from this special standing between the living and the dead, remembering the dead and at the same time encouraging the living to do things your way and not their way. The memorial prayer devotional service, Lord, is something that you created. I didn't do this. I wouldn't do this. It's just an extra pressure-filled service that I would not think of doing myself. But I thank you for doing it because it's been very meaningful and very helpful to many, many thousands. And I know it's important because I've never seen a service, out of all of the services we've done, I've never seen a service that has received so much satanic attack. So Holy Father God, we pray that you'll save those who are lost, revive those who are saved. In Jesus Christ's name we pray and for his sake. Amen. Now, dear friend, if you do not know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ himself said with his own mouth, John 3:16, for God so loved the world. That means that if you're in this world, God loves you. He loved you so much that he gave his only begotten son. His name is Jesus Christ, who suffered, bled, and died on the cross for your sins, was buried, and rose on the third day by the power of God. That whosoever, that word whosoever, means anybody at any time. Red, yellow, black, or white, we're all precious in God's sight. Whosoever believeth in him. That word believeth means to rely on him, to trust in him, to have faith in him. That's all you have to do. You don't have to join a church to be saved. You don't have to be in a church building right now to be saved. You don't have to go down into the baptismal pool to be saved. You don't have to give any money to the church to be saved. I know this drives pastors crazy. They don't like for me to say this, but none of those things and none of your good works will save you. I don't care if you're a preacher or a deacon, that won't save you. Only faith in Christ, believing in your heart the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, that Jesus Christ suffered, bled and died for your sins as the sacrificial Lamb of God that John the Baptist said took away the sins of the world forever, including yours. He died, was buried, and rose on the third day, by the power of God for you and for me and for everybody. That is the gospel. That is the good news of Jesus Christ. And dear friend, all you have to do is believe on Christ right now. For whosoever believeth in him, that is Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory, the Lamb of God, Emmanuel, God with us, should not perish. Perish where? Perish in hell. Perish in hell forever. Hell is a place of weeping and gnashing of teeth, Jesus said, and wailing. If you don't like a whole bunch of crying and hollering and weeping, then you don't want to go to hell. Hell is a place of torment. Hell is a place of an agonizing and a torturous memory. You will remember everything in hell, every chance you had to get saved. You will remember rejecting Christ in hell, and you will be tortured by your memory. Hell is a place of outer darkness, Jesus said, and hell is a place of the blackness of darkness. But but to me, the saddest aspect of hell, my dear friend, is once you go beyond the gates of hell, you cannot come out. There's no limbo. There's no purgatory. There's no in-between. So don't go to hell. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, the Bible says, and thou you shalt be saved. And then the last phrase of that powerful verse, but have everlasting life. That is everlasting life in heaven with God, with Jesus, with the angels, and with the saints. Romans 10:9-13 says, to wrap it up for you real good, this is all you have to do, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou you shalt be saved. Saved from what? Saved from hell. Saved to what? Saved to heaven. For whosoever shall call, there's that word again, whosoever, which means anybody at any time in history, red, yellow, black, or white. We might be a bunch of racist and prejudiced people in America, but God is not. God loves you as you are. Red, yellow, black, or white, we're all precious in God's sight. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Saved from what? Saved from hell. Eternal burning in hell. Saved to what? Saved to heaven to be with God in Jesus forever. So, dear friend, just simply believe in your heart that Jesus Christ suffered, bled, and died on the cross for your sins and for mine, was buried, and rose on the third day. That is the gospel. That is the good news. Pray and ask him to save you, and I will be glad to lead you in what is called the sinner's prayer. Repeat after me, phrase by phrase, while you believe in your heart on Jesus Christ. Holy Father God, I acknowledge that I am a sinner and that I have done evil in your sight. I've done wrong in your sight. I have broken your Ten Commandments. I have taken your holy name in vain. I've dishonored my parents and disrespected my parents and disobeyed my parents. I have lusted in my heart after people and things in my life. I've stolen things, maybe not a car, but a pen or somebody's lunch out of the refrigerator. And I have told lies before. And so, Lord, that makes me guilty, just committing those five sins, breaking your commandments, makes me guilty of breaking your Ten Commandments. And so, Lord, I know that I deserve to go to hell. Please have mercy and grace upon my soul, for Jesus Christ's sake. As I now believe with all of my heart in the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord God, I believe in my heart that Jesus Christ died for my sins, was buried, and rose on the third day. Lord Jesus, please come into my heart and save my soul. I receive you and your salvation into my, your free gift of salvation into my heart and into my spirit. Fill me with your Holy Spirit and help me to repent and to turn from my evil sins in life. And help me to follow you, Lord Jesus, in the new life. For it is in your name I do pray. Amen. Now, dear friend of mine, if you just trusted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, and you prayed that prayer with me and you meant it from your heart, I declare to you that based upon the Word of God, that is the Holy Bible, you are now saved from hell and you are on your way to heaven. Welcome to the family of God, dear friend. I want to congratulate you on doing the most important thing in life, and that is believing on the Lord Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. For more information to help you grow in your newfound faith in Christ, go to GospelLightSociety.com and read my book. It's a free download for you. You will never be charged for it. You'll never be asked for any money for it. It is titled, What to Do After You Enter Through the Door. Jesus Christ said in John 10:9, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. Until next time, my beloved, may the Lord bless you and keep you, is my prayer.